Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaste, Krishna Prastai Buddha, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Nityanamani, Namaste, Saraswata Deva Gauravani, Prasadame, Nirvasesha Shandravadi, Pastat, Tadesha Tarame, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 68, Verse 42. Njala Yanam Iva Agurnam Gangayam Nagaram Patat Akrishyamanam Alokya Akaurava Jata Sambrama Jalayanam Ipagurnam Gangayam Nagaram Patat Akrishyamanam Alokya Kaurava Jata Samrama Jalayanam Ipagurnam Gangayam Nagaram Patat Akrishyamanam Alokya Kaurava Jata Sambrama A raft Eva as if Agurnam tumbling about Gangayam into the Ganges, Nagaram, city, Patat, falling, Akrishyamanam, being dragged, Alokya, seeing, Kaurava, Kauravas, Jata, becoming, Sambrama, excited and bewildered. Actually, we didn't read the previous verse, also told that one. The Lord angry dug up the semaphore with the tip of his plow and began to drag it, intending to cast the entire city into the Ganges. Seeing that their city was tumbling about like a raft at sea as it was being dragged away, and that it was about to fall into the Ganges, the Kauravas became terrified. To save their lives, they approached the Lord for shelter, taking their families with them. Placing Samba and Lakshmana in front, they joined their palms in supplication. The Kauravas said, "Oh, Rama, Rama, foundation of everything, we know nothing of your power. Please excuse our offense, for we are ignorant and misguided. You alone caused the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmos, and of you there is no prior cause. Indeed, O Lord, authorities say that the worlds are a mere plaything for you, as you perform your pastimes. O unlimited one of a thousand heads, as your pastime you carry this earthly globe upon one of your heads. At the time of annihilation you withdraw the entire universe within your body, and remaining all alone, lie down to rest. Your anger is meant for instructing everyone. It is not a manifestation of hatred or envy. O Supreme Lord, you sustain the pure mode of goodness, and you become angry only to maintain and protect this world. We bow down to you, O soul of all beings, O wielder of all potencies, O tireless maker of the universe, offering you obeisances, we take shelter of you." Sukadeva Goswami said, "Thus, propitiated by the Kurus, whose city was trembling, and who were surrendered to him in great distress, Lord Balaram became very calm and kindly disposed towards them. 'Do not be afraid,' he said, and took away their fear." Duryodhana, being very affectionate to his daughter, gave as her dowry 1,260-year-old elephants 120,000 horses, 6,000 gold chariots shining like the sun, and 1,000 maidservants with jeweled lockets on their necks. The Supreme Lord, chief of the Yadavas, accepted all these gifts and then departed with his son and daughter-in-law as his well wishes bid him farewell. And then Lord Halayuda entered his city and met his relatives, whose hearts were all bound to him in loving attachment. In the assembly hall, he reported to the Yadu leaders everything about his dealings with the Kauravas. Even today, the city of Hastinapur is visibly elevated on its southern side along the Ganges, thus showing the signs of Lord Balaram's prowess. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada writes as follows: Lord Balaram seemed so furious that he looked as if he could burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes. He stood up steadily and, taking his plow in his hand, began striking the earth with it. In this way, the whole city of Hastinapur was separated from the earth. Lord Balaram then began to drag the city towards the flowing water of the river Ganges. Because of this, there was a great tremor throughout Hastinapur, as if there had been an earthquake, and it seemed the whole city would be dismantled. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says that by the Lord's desire, his plow had increased in size, and that as Balaram began dragging Hastinapur towards the water, he ordered the Ganges, except for Samba, you should attack and kill everyone in the city with your water. Thus, he would fulfill his promise to rid the earth of the Kauravas while making sure that nothing bad would happen to Samba. The city of Hastinapur began to roll like a raft in a stormy sea. The frightened Kauravas, to quickly appease the Lord, immediately brought Samba and Lakshman and placed them in front. The Kurus admit that Lord Balaram's anger was entirely appropriate and that was meant for their benefit. As Srila Vishnu Chakravarti puts it, the Kurus meant to say, because you exhibited this anger, we have now become civilized, whereas previously we were wicked and could not see you, blinded as you were by pride. The Kauravas clearly realized that their lives and destinies were in the hands of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says, follows, for the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriyas to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. When Samba forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elder members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased that he was actually the suitable match for her. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without any respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Samba from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter. And as a powerful kshatra, he ordered them to free Samba immediately. The Kauravas became superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Samba, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate towards his daughter Lakshmana, had her married to Samba in great pomp. Balaram was very satisfied after his great reception from the side of the Kurus, and accompanied by the newly married couple, he started towards his capital city of Dwarka. Lord Balaram triumphantly reached Dwarka, where he met with many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balaram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapur tremble. Thus end the purport of the humble service of the Divine Gesay Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 10th canto, 68th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Marriage of Samba. So, here we have the conclusion of this episode in which Balaram shows his nature and which is some anger, and the Kauravas submit and they are pacified and they offer Balaram praises. But as I mentioned the other day, actually they were showing great pride. And sometimes those who are in front of Krishna and Balaram, they will show pride. For instance, Indra or Brahma will show some pride. So Indra fought with Krishna because of a flower, a flowering tree, which is rather useless in one sense. But they fought over a tree, a Parijata tree. And Lord Brahma When he saw Krishna and Vrindavan eating with his cowherd friends, then he thought, how can this be God? Then he said, I will show my powers, and then we'll see if Krishna can actually do something about this. In other words, he said, I'll show my powers, and if Krishna is bewildered by that, then I'm more powerful than Krishna. And he's not God. However, we also know that Brahma originally understood that Supreme Lord would come in this material world because the devotees went to Lord Brahma, and then Brahma went to the milk ocean and he prayed, please, Vishnu, you please come and help us because Kamsa and the demons are harassing this earth. So then the Lord said, yes, I will come. And then when Krishna was born, all the devotees came and praised him, and Krishna came out of the womb with four hands, and they said, this is Supreme Lord, and everyone was content. And then he went to Vrindavan in the form of a small boy. So, in one sense, Brahma, he is, of course, just 100 of his years, and our 100 years is like a half a second or something for him. Huh? So, the whole lifespan in the material world of a human being is nothing for Lord Brahma, and 4 billion years is one day of Brahma. So, did Brahma forget this whole thing about Krishna coming into the material world? How is it possible? And then he thought, when he saw Krishna there in Vrindavan, can this be God? is this an example of even Brahma become overcome by Maya? In the case of the Kauravas, yes, because we know Duryodhana was a big demon. He was Kali personified, but yes, he's full of Maya. And if he looks like he's praising Balaram, actually it's false praise. Because he's a big demon. And ultimately, Krishna had him killed, along with all of his brothers. And so the Kauravas, in one sense, were not devotees. But we know the Devatas are devotees, and we also know that Brahma is the greatest devotee. In fact, this Brahma is so great that when he was born, Krishna gave him Bhagavatam. And they said, in this lifetime, you will not be bewildered. So he's got a special potency. He cannot be like a big demon because the Supreme Lord himself gave him the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam was passed on Narayana when he get to Vyasadeva, and this is where we get the Bhagavatam. So how is it possible that Lord Brahma can be overcome? When Lord Krishna himself said, you will not be bewildered in this lifetime. Okay? So we see two types of bewilderment. Those are the demons. Yes, that is real bewilderment. And as a result of such things, they will get certain results. In other words, all of us were extinguished and banished, killed in Balaka, etc. And then the Pandavas ruled. What about the case of Brahma? He's a devotee. And he was overcome by Maya. So let's explain that actually Brahma, because of the promise of the Lord, actually could not become bewildered. Truly. But for the Lord's purposes of pastimes, sometimes the Lord will do this. So we cannot call it Maya bewilderment, we call it Yoga Maya bewilderment. So by the will of the Lord for his pastimes, he confuses Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma thinks, this is not God after all. Let me test this person and see if he's the Supreme Lord. And then he stole all the cowherd boys and the calves and put them in a cave and put them all to sleep. And he says, and he thought, well, now we'll see what Krishna will do. But it is actually said, even Brahma, he is a great devotee of the Lord. Still, he's in the material world. He cannot touch the cowherd boys. They are transcendental. They don't have material bodies. Even calves don't have material bodies. So Brahma has a material body, and he has to give up that body when he dies. How can he even touch the cowherd boys and calves? Cannot. So, he put the cowherd boys to sleep. How is it possible? He put the cowherd boys. They weren't the calves. They were some imitation Maya things made by the Supreme Lord. So actually, Brahma showed his powers in putting all the calves and cowherd boys to sleep, but actually it wasn't the calves and cowherd boys. Krishna showed more power, and he made some new cowherd boys and calves who were actually Maya. And they went to sleep, according to Brahma's will. And What happened to the original calves and cowherd boys? Because we also see that Krishna expanded himself as the calves and cowherd boys. Huh? So the real calves and cowherds, actually, they weren't there either. They were not in the cave, and Krishna himself expanded himself as all the calves and cowherd boys. So what happened to the real ones? Disappeared. They were in either place. They were not in the cave, and they were not in Vrindavan. Where did they go? Huh? They have to exist because they're eternal. So by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, yes, they still exist. They're still there, but we can't see them. And they're still enjoying their pastimes in the spiritual world. So somehow, inconceivably, cowherd boys are still existing, but we don't see them at all. And Krishna took the role of all the cows and cowherd boys for 1 year. And no one even knew about it. And even Balaram didn't know about it. So this is remarkable because Balaram is also Supreme Lord, and he didn't know that Krishna was fooling everybody. And after 1 year, Balaram was looking as the cows were going up the hill to Govardhan, and the cowherd men were up in the hill eating, having the cows eat the nice grass. And the cows were munching on the grass. And then the cowherd boys and the calves were at the bottom of the hill. And then the cows saw those calves. And they were charged down the hill. And the cowherd men were yelling at the cows and cursing them and trying to stop them from running down the hill. And they couldn't do it. And they ran after the cows. And the cows kept running down the hill and they tried to stop them. And they were running after them. And the cows ran faster. And then they got to the bottom of the hill and they saw the calves. And then immediately they stopped and they began licking the calves. And the cowherd men were running after them, cursing them with sticks. And then the cowherd men, and they saw their sons. And suddenly they gave up their anger. And they embraced their sons and began crying. And then Balaram looked at that and said, "This is very strange. How is this?" And then he thought, somehow these cows are attracted to these calves. Even though the cows have given birth to new calves, they don't care for the new calves at all. They care for these other calves, the older ones from last year. And they're so attracted to them. And why the cowherd men are so angry, and suddenly they see their sons and they begin crying. This is very strange. Then Balaram thought, something is peculiar here. Maybe the demons are disguising themselves and coming against the calves or something and causing some problem. He said, no, demons cannot bewilder me. I know a demon. Said, maybe it's the devatas. He said, no, devatas cannot bewilder me either. Maybe it's the rishis. What are the rishis doing, acting as cows and calves and stuff like this? It's strange. And he thought for a moment. He says, nobody can bewilder me except Krishna. Krishna can bewilder me. So then he concentrated very carefully and then he looked. And he saw all of the calves and cowherd boys were Krishna. So he went to Krishna and said, "What is this?" And then Krishna explained everything. So this is an example to show that even Balaram is under the control of Krishna, even though he's Supreme Lord. And as we see here, the Kauravas address Balaram as Supreme Lord, etc. So, Krishna shows more power, even though they're both complete, even though they're both God, and God has all power. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. And that means he manifests all the powers of God. Whereas all the other forms of God, like Rama and Krishna, Sherman, Balaram, and Hayagriva, and whatever, they're also God, and they're all perfect. They have all the same powers and all the same qualities. But they don't show them in those particular forms. So therefore, it is Krishna that shows all the qualities in that particular form of Krishna. So he's called Swayam Bhagavan. And they're all Bhagavan, but he is Swayam Bhagavan. And therefore, he shows even more power than Balaram. And that is illustrated in that incident of the stealing of the calves. Even Balaram was bewildered by the yoga maya potency of Krishna. So this is not normal maya. This is called yoga maya. So the definition of yoga maya is that by this potency, some aspects of the Supreme Lord are revealed, and some things are hidden. Whereas Mahamaya, everything is hidden. You don't see the Lord at all. You just seem to be material objects. So in Yoga Maya, some aspects of the Lord are hidden, and some things are revealed according to the Lord's will. Okay? So it is a spiritual potency of the Lord. And he uses this Yugamaya potency for his pastimes. So that is why in the spiritual world it appears that people don't know something sometimes. Okay? And Krishna has a pastime with the cowherd boys or the gopis, and then it finally comes to the conclusion and they're all surprised as if they didn't know anything. But actually, it is because of the Yogamaya potency of the Supreme Lord. And that's the only way pastimes can take place. If everybody knew what the conclusion of the pastime was before it started, then what would be the fun of the pastime? But still, they have all knowledge. But the Yogamaya potency of the Lord acts. And so that is not ignorance. It is part of the Lord's pastimes. So, the Yogamaya potency can even bewilder Balaram. And in some senses, even Krishna gets bewildered by it. Now, how is it possible the Lord is bewildered by his own potencies? But the Lord allows this sometimes. An example of that is in the Agasura pastime, where the boys are playing in the forest with Krishna, and then they come across this big thing in the forest with a big mouth, and then some of the boys speculate, this looks like a big snake. I say, no, it's actually a big mountain, and there's a cave in the mountain. Let's go in the cave. Another boy said, no, this is a snake actually pretending it's a mountain with a cave. And the other boys argued, no. Let's go in. Anyway, this will protect us. All right, we'll go inside this cave, and if it's a snake, it doesn't really matter because Krishna will protect us. And Krishna was listening to all this conversation. And Krishna was just listening. And then he saw the cows and the cowherd boys running into the mouth of the big snake. And Krishna was thinking, how can this happen? And why don't I stop them? And he was astonished. And he thought, oh, this is the Yogamaya potency acting. And even I can't stop them. I cannot stop them from going into the mouth of the Agasura. So he said, yes, this is Yogamaya acting. So he let them go in. And then Krishna went in also. And then he expanded himself in the mouth of Agasura, and he choked him to death and suffocated. And all the boys came out after that. And then Krishna liberated Agasura. And he went to the spiritual world. So that Yogamaya potency of the Lord is there, and it acts in the spiritual pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So it causes spiritual bewilderment for increase of bliss only. So the Mahamaya potency of the Lord is different. That is also under the control of the Supreme Lord, but that does not act upon the devotees. That acts upon the people of the material world and the demons. And the result is different. The result is not for increase of prema. The result of that is sukha dukkha, happiness, distress, happiness, distress, happiness, distress. That is the result in the material world. And continual bondage, going from body to body, material body. So we get birth and death continually in the material world. That is called samsara. So that is the result of Mahamaya. So that generally is not under the direct control of Krishna. He gives Mahamaya the orders, and Mahamaya carries out under Durga, he carries out all the activities of the material world after the creation. And karma and other laws act under the direction of Mahamaya, Durga Devi. So Krishna is not directly involved at all in that. And this Mahamaya, as I said, it causes happiness and distress for the living energies of the material world. So this Mahamaya is ignorance of the jiva. It's got nothing to do with knowledge or spiritual things at all. It is ignorance. It is not spiritual. It is a material covering. It is different from the jiva. Ignorance is part of maya. Maya and prakriti, etc., are material things. And jiva is spiritual. But the jiva is covered by this in the material world. And it is very difficult to remove that covering. So this is completely different. The Mahamaya and the Yogamaya are completely different. So the Kauravas, actually, most of the Kauravas, except someone like Bhishma, who was there also, most of the Kauravas are affected by the Mahamaya. they are in complete ignorance. And therefore, they were destroyed by the will of Krishna ultimately through the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. And the devotees, as I said, sometimes fall under the influence of this yogamaya potency for the Lord's pastimes. So we can say that the Pandavas and those persons, why do the Pandavas gamble and lose the kingdom twice, actually? Lost the kingdom twice. How is it possible? Yudhisthira is full of dharma. Why would he gamble in the first place? And why didn't he know that they would cheat? Yogamaya potency of the Lord's acting. It's not ignorance. It's not he's full of lusty desires to gamble and win. No, it's the yogamaya potency of the Lord only acting on him. So whatever faults you may see in the Pandavas for their actions which caused the war or whatever, that is yogamaya potency, the Lord's arrangement. So the Lord made a big arrangement, and that's described when, in the first canto when Vishnu was passing away. He said, "You do not understand the plan of the Lord. It is very mysterious. We don't know what the Lord is going to do and what the result is." And therefore, you see the devotees like the Pandavas suffering for 13 years in the forest and getting afflicted, and Krishna doesn't interfere. Now, what is this? And so nobody can understand what the Lord is up to. And then finally there's a big war, and all the Kauravas are killed, etc. No one can understand the plan of the Lord. He has that plan. It's all arranged by him. It involves the devotees and demons and whatever, and the devotees are under this yogamaya potency at all times. And it looks as if there's just a big problem in the material world, and everyone is suffering from samsara, but not. The devotees are not suffering from mahamaya at all. Under the Supreme Lord's direction. So very skillfully the Lord interweaves the spiritual pastimes with the material world as avatar. In the spiritual world, there's no material world, so everything is spiritual pastimes. But when he comes into the material world, the two things get intertwined very intimately. We have Krishna killing demons and everything. So and the material influence is coming into the pastimes of the Lord. How can the material things enter into spiritual pastimes? How is that possible? By the Lord's mercy, he allows that to happen. He gets a spiritual result. In any case, everything becomes spiritual. So when Krishna kills the demons, the result is spiritual. They get advancement. Or they go to the spiritual world. And they get betterment. And they improve their situation. So this is the skill of the Supreme Lord when it comes to the material world. Yes, he enters into the material world. He even contacts the material world in one sense because he interacts with the demons and kills them. Whatever. He upraises the consciousness of everyone. But at the same time, he's completely untouched and he remains spiritual in nature. So this is all arranged by the Lord and his Shaktis and his Yogamaya potency, etc. They all act together. And very skillfully it is produced by the Lord. And then when everything is over, then the Lord withdraws, and he makes arrangements for everything. So after the Pandavas got the kingdom back, then Krishna made an arrangement again. And he says, now we have to disappear. So we've annihilated all the big demons, now we have to disappear also. Because the Lord's pastime, his purpose is finished. All the pastimes in Vrindavan, all the pastimes in Dvorka, everything is finished. And Dharma was restored, everything is, and demons were killed, so now it's time to disappear again. So that is the nature of avatar. The avatar appears and disappears. And this is so with all avatars. Some may last longer than others, but nevertheless appear and disappear, appear and disappear, like that. So then, not now, I'll have to disappear. So then he had another pastime in which he disappeared, and all of the rishis disappeared also. And again, no one can understand, well, how is it possible? Why did the Lord do like this? Why did the rishis get drunk? Why did they kill each other? And no one can really understand that either. It was the arrangement of the Lord again. And it's, we cannot say that the rishis actually got drunk. Another arrangement of the Lord by Yogamaya. And in this way, no one actually annihilated them. They annihilated them, made themselves disappear. And nobody died. So the Acharyas carefully explain, Vishnu Chakravarti explains that. Don't think that the Yadavas killed themselves and each other. No. The Yadavas went back to Dwarka. You don't see that. He just went back to Dwarka, and Devatas, who were actually in the yard of Adakshi, went back to Swargaloka. And they went back to Dwarka, and they're living there still, performing the pastimes with Krishna. So you don't see that. So externally, there's one thing, and this is the Lord's plan, the will of the demons. So this is how the Lord acts. We don't really understand everything about the Lord and how he acts. We just have to accept it. So the devotees can accept on faith, and the demons will ridicule the Lord and say, he's just a material being. Look, he's like an ordinary person, and he disappeared, got shot in the foot by a hunter, and his dynasty fought with each other and killed each other. So it's like a material story. This is how the Lord bewilders everybody. So Krishna is particularly... His forms, his pastimes are particularly bewildering for everybody. Yeah? Because more than other avatars, he acts like a normal person in this material world. And therefore, it is not surprising that even Brahma would get bewildered. But of course he shouldn't, because he's, the Lord said, okay, no more, no Maya in this lifetime for Lord Brahma. Still, the Lord did this. But it's not surprising anyway, because of the nature of Krishna. He acts like a normal person in this world in many cases, and he performs pastimes like a normal person. In the case of Brahma, when Brahma came down, actually the reason Brahma came down was that the devatas and the rishis were praising Krishna because he had killed Agasura, and then they saw that Agasura merged into the body of Krishna, but he was a demon. How could that happen? They were shocked at first, and they said, oh, this is the mercy of the Lord, that even the demons get liberation. And they were praising Krishna. And then Lord Brahma, gradually the praises went up from Svargaloka, the Mahaloka, the Janaloka, the Tapaloka, and all the rishis and sages were praising Krishna. And then Brahma heard all the praises from Brahmaloka, and he said, why are they all praising Krishna? So I will come down and see. So he came and entered into the earth. And he went to Vrindavan. And there he saw Krishna was there. Why were the devatas praising Krishna? Krishna was just sitting there among the cowherd boys in the forest. And they were eating their lunch together. Nothing remarkable. It was little boys eating lunch. And there was like little boys eating lunch, and Krishna had food in one hand, food in the other hand, food in his mouth, and they were throwing food at each other. He had food all over his body, and Brahma thought, how can this be God? Looks like a little boy, and not that, he's not even following the rules and regulations. He's eating with his left hand, he's got food all over his body and everything. How can this be God? So Krishna acts very much like a human being, and it's bewildering for everybody, and bewildering for the demons especially, and even for the devotees sometimes. So we don't know, we don't understand everything about the Supreme Lord, but if one has faith, then one can understand. So that is why the Bhagavatam for the devotees is understandable if a devotee speaks it. A devotee who knows about Krishna speaks it, then we understand who Krishna is. But if someone who doesn't understand, then they will see these pastimes of Krishna and they will think, oh, this is something very strange. It doesn't look like God after all. And then they will make some other theory about God and Krishna, whatever. And will misunderstand. And that also is done on purpose, because we know Krishna is rahasya. He is very secret. It is difficult to understand the highest thing. The diamonds are not thrown on the street. Yeah? Only certain people can get diamonds in the diamond store. Krishna also is not available for everybody. Only those who are highly qualified get to realize Krishna. So therefore he hides some aspects, and those who are devotees will understand. So that is the nature of Krishna's pastimes, and sometimes it is mysterious. Only the devotees will understand the real meaning of those pastimes, because they're hidden. And even Sukadeva Goswami will hide the meaning also. He will not give the direct meaning. Because Krishna prefers it to be hidden. Let the devotees understand what it means. Everybody else can have another meaning for this pastime and this story. So therefore we have to hear submission and devotion and hear from the acharyas. And then we understand the real meaning of everything. And then in this way, we actually appreciate the nature of the Supreme Lord. Okay. Any questions?
Maharaj Krishna said in the Gita, now the Mahatmas are under his divine protection, divine energy. So sometimes I catch myself saying, oh, it's Krishna's arrangement.
Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. Both are under Krishna. Ultimately, it's all Krishna's arrangements, and everything in the material world, even karma, is Krishna's arrangement. So the devotee actually, in his general life, he does accept it's all mercy of Krishna, the karma that's coming to him in the material world. And that is his qualification as a devotee. He sees his karmas operating and he accepts them as the Lord's mercy. He says, this is actually... But he understands that I am the cause. It's atmakritam. I have produced this situation now by which I suffered in the material world. That is Krishna's mercy. Through karma. So he understands that is, as far as that is Krishna's mercy and it's Krishna's legal in one sense, so you can say it like that. But at the same time, the person continues his service to the Lord. He does not blame the Lord now, why is the Lord interrupting me and causing me? No, he continues his service. This is my, I've done this, and this is the Lord's mercy to teach me something, and I will continue my service. So he continues his service. And this is his qualification for the Lord's mercy. This is what is said in Bhagavatam. Brahma says this. So that's his general attitude. So, when, on the other hand, if we make a lot of mistakes and we say, well, it's Krishna's plan, we're foolish and we don't think properly, we don't make proper decisions, that's just an excuse on our part to blame everything on Krishna, more or less, that all the mistakes we make. So, if everything is, the karma is acting, yeah, we can attribute that as Krishna's mercy, but ultimately it's caused by me. And therefore, all the mistakes we make also are caused by us. We have to accept that. In a sense, because this is all Krishna, because, you know, the Maya is under Krishna. But no, we can't do that. We cannot say, okay, the karma is Krishna's also, so therefore karma Krishna should get the result of the karma, not me. We cannot say that. So we do have responsibility. Even though everything's ultimately under Krishna, we have responsibility for our actions and those results. So we get immediate reactions, immediate results, in terms of good or bad, success or failure. And we get long-term results in terms of karma. Generally, we only see the immediate result, the success or failure. But we have the other result also. And that's our responsibility. That result is different. It's in terms of papa and punya. But we have to accept that it's our responsibility also. That's the result of our action. We generally only understand the immediate result, that's all. We have to accept the karma result also in the future.
Did you say
Bhishma
was under
Mahamaya? No, he's in Siddha, actually. He's a Siddha devotee.
Maharaj, how do you can be convinced that though Krishna gets liberated by his Yogamaya potency,
in one sense we cannot say he's really bewildered. He is just amazed by that potency such that even he agrees to follow it, we can say. So in other words, all the cowherd boys were going in and he wanted to say no, but nothing happened, no words came out of his mouth. And then he thought, oh yes, Yoga Maya is arranging this, okay, let it happen. Like that. And even like Rasa Leela is described, the night of the first Rasa Leela, when it first took place in the autumn season, when everything became very perfect, and the moon was full, and the flowers were, the scent of the night flowers was in the air, and everything was perfect for the Rasa Leela to happen. So it's described that, the potencies, the shaktis of the Lord were eagerly doing all this on their own, and Krishna didn't have to do anything even. He didn't have to make it happen. His potencies were eager to make the arrangements for the Rasa Leela.
In the context of the Chakusloki world of Bhagavad in the second world, in that context, is there really an existence of two Maya, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, or is there only one Maya? And it is a manifestation depending on one's consciousness, whether it's Yoga Maya or Mahamaya.
Well, as I said, we can say it's one in the sense that there is a sense of illusion, And then if it's the illusion is a fundamental, we don't relate to God at all, then it is called Mahamaya. And if the illusion is related to one's acceptance of God, then it would be Yogamaya. In one sense, you can say that, I suppose. I never heard it said, but you can say it like that. I think that verse itself is, in the Chattasloka, is related to more or less to Mahamaya. Although maybe the Acharyas also say something. I can look that up. I can't recall whether they've done that also. Krishna Chakravarti has two versions of the verse. Sometimes he does that and has two different meanings for the verse. One in terms of rasa and one in terms of external appearances.
In the case of Krishna being bewildered and the devotees, the Krishna not being bewildered and the devotees not being bewildered and the demons being under illusions.
Yeah.
When Krishna was fighting with the sulfur, then he created a false Vasudeva.
Oh yeah. And then Krishna cried.
And then Krishna starts crying.
Yeah.
I still have to understand. He's not part of the Gaudiya Maya. He's working under Mahamaya. Yet Krishna actually gets influenced by that.
Yeah.
The illusion has been created by Sulfur.
I think in that case it's explained that he just did that also as a show. And that's another trick, and that was a tricky trick with him again. So actually he wasn't really bewildered ultimately in that case. And also sometimes he acts according to convention. Because it is, if you don't feel anything for your father, but you know, you act like a son should act in relation to the father or whatever like that, you know, for convention's sake. And at the same time he's tricking the demons or whatever. So sometimes he acts according to convention. Is obligated to do things. He's obligated to do certain things as a king, and follow certain, you know, patterns. When he doesn't have to do that, but he follows those patterns of dharma and whatever, and does things like a king. Just to set an example for other people. Yes, and that is dear in one sense, but ultimately not. Because you know that they are demons, and Balaram also knows they're demons. And we see here in this chapter how he's praising Balaram. You are supporting the universe on your heads, and in one sense he recognizes. But ultimately, no, they don't. Because ultimately, Krishna had them all killed. Yeah, so their so-called recognition of the Lord and Balaram and the respect in this case is not real respect. So, for pastimes, yes, Balaram shows favor to them, whatever, but ultimately, no, he's also not, he's not in ignorance, he knows what they are. It's not said, really, not in Bhagavatam, it doesn't really say. Of course, in the Mahabharata, there he actually is seen in heaven. And because he followed Kshatriya duty. That, of course, is just, that was an illusory, whole thing was an illusion in one sense, and the Pandavas went up to heaven, and then they went into a hellish situation. So that's more or less, we can't take that as natural. But if a demon is killed by the Supreme Lord, ultimately they get benefit. And when they're killed by Krishna personally, then of course they do get even greater benefit to go to the spiritual world in many cases, like Putana or Anasura, end up with Sarupya Mukti and whatnot in the spiritual world. That is a special blessing of Krishna. In most cases, avatars, when they kill demons, they get some material reward. That's all in the material world. But when Krishna kills them, sometimes he gives them liberation, sometimes he gives them Mukti, Sarupa in the spiritual world.
In a more contemporary point of view, there are so many stories of devotees visiting communist countries in the early years and having very close escapes. And there was one story that a guru visited devotees in Holland, I think, and the military police came. They looked straight through him and didn't arrest him. Oh my goodness, indeed, was it visible? So the energies like Pandavas and Kauravas being under different Lord's energies, is it possible that adversaries can be placed by the Lord under his mercy?
Okay.
Is it possible? for the Lord to say the devotion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He
yeah.
continues on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In this material world, so many things can be done, and you know, physical laws are there, and etc. But somehow, we can be overlooked sometimes. In fact, I did one thing once. There was a person in Russia, I think it was, when he was a little boy, actually. Later, he became quite famous for his power, lethal powers, actually. And Stalin actually gave him some, you know, credit. But he was very famous for his power. So that he felt when he was a boy, and one time he was on a train and he ran away from home and he was on a train without a ticket. And what to do, the conductor was coming along and it's going to catch him. So he thought real hard and concentrated real hard, and the conductor came along, and then he had a little piece of newspaper crumbled up and he gave it to the conductor, and the conductor looked at it and gave it back to him. So then he understood the power of your mind to do something can influence another person, and you can see something completely different. So later on, one of his tricks was that he demonstrated to Stalin that I can get through all of your guards and I can get into your palace and I'll meet you. And you got all your guards around there and everything like that. He did it. He was outside, and then suddenly he walked through all the guards and went in, and the guards didn't see him. Because he had some, you know, very mystical power or something to do that. And he just walked right through them and nobody saw anything. And he got in and said, to Stalin. He said, here I am. So he was quite famous as a person like that. So even, you know, people in the material world, they have power. This is just yoga power in one sense, by which you can seem to disappear and by your will and people can't see you. Something like that.
There's a bit of danger in saying that the devotees are always under the influence of the yoga maya.
That's of course on the just at a level, but they're under yoga maya completely. The sadhakas, you know, they're mixed. Yeah. No, because we're going to an ashram of Ritti, we're still subject to karmas and whatnot. So you say the maya is still influencing it then.
What's that? Mahamaya?
Mahamaya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned that when a devotee takes initiation, then Krishna accepts him as good as himself.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some influence from Krishna on the life of the devotee. But at the same time, we have to be careful because it might think, well, even the nonsense that I'm doing is actually Krishna's arrangement.
Well, it's like, you know, even where devotees, then you can commit offense, and because of offense, then bhakti doesn't really work anymore. So you can't call it bhakti anymore because of the offense. No effect is coming, and you're just doing material activities at that point. So that means maya is acting, isn't it? And so it's in the stage of sadhana, and you're not, you know, not all yoga maya. If you're a Nita Siddha or you've got your sarup, then you're under the yoga maya completely, and nothing can touch you. And even in Bhava, it said, like in Nectar Devotion, it says, do not criticize the person on Bhava, even if you see spots on the moon. Apparently, he's like, no, because he's in an elevated position. And Krishna's, you know, directly with him at that point, so don't criticize, even if there is fault. Below that, it doesn't say that. And we're going through an Anartha Nivritti and etc. So, practically speaking, the Anarthas are not gone. There's a process of clearing out the Anarthas. So, you know, and there can be offense and so many things in there to interrupt the process, so then it's not really bhakti at that point anyway. Yeah.
But,
you should not underestimate the power of bhakti also. That's also there.
Yeah,
the bhakti part is, but then we're not always in bhakti. And if you follow the definition, ani abhilasha sunya, and you do your bhakti like that, okay, that part is, that's spiritual, it's not material. Bhakti is shakti of the Lord and it's spiritual, but we're not always in that consciousness. And then half of the time we're thinking so many other things, and that's not bhakti. But when we do that devotional service with that particular mode of, you know, unmotivated love, that's bhakti. So more or less we're shifting around in the sadhana process, and then if you're more and more and more, if you end up 50% or 60%, 80%, you're progressing up to nishtana sakti that way. And still there's a little maya going on there, but mostly it's that. And in bhava maybe it's 99%, a little bit of shift up, a little bit, and then prema is 100%. So there's no shift to maya at all. Well, we should see what the acharyas say, basically. Yeah? Because as I said, we cannot always take what is literally said in the scriptures. Yeah? Because, the statements are made, but then we have to see another statement which contradicts that someplace else. In many cases, yes, we can get liberation. Demons can get liberation because Krishna killed Agassura. He got liberation, and not liberation, he went to the spiritual world, actually. And Putana ended up in the spiritual world also. It's possible. But we'll have to see exactly in particular circumstances, a particular demon or whatever. Yeah? And of course, Duryodhana wasn't directly killed by Krishna, so. But he could do that if he wanted to, but you should not think, therefore, he wasn't a demon. It's Krishna's mercy only if he did get liberation or whatever. Well, I think you didn't say liberation, you said Nitya Siddha or something. He was a.
No, in one version of the narrative, they said he received liberation because he performed so many sacrifices.
Well, sacrifices doesn't give you liberation, it gives you svargaloka.
Yeah.
Basically, not liberation.
That's why I was upset.
Someone that wasn't killed in the battle, or etc.
Yeah, he was injured, and he came out to the area of Kurukshetra and died there, and not and because he didn't achieve the mercy of being killed.
Oh, then he didn't get any liberation or whatnot. No, I don't recall that. All these statements are there to show the power of bhakti. So in the Nectar devotion also it says if you wear the garland of the Lord, then you go to Vaikuntha or whatever. So many different statements are there. So you cannot doubt those statements, yes. And that is to show the power of devotional service. Again, we should also think that one also has to be performing these things purely, and then we get a pure result. And if you do it, some impurity, then we'll get a lesser result. So, for instance, hearing and chanting and those are even more powerful than the other processes of bhakti. You have to do that purely, whatever. And then you get those particular results. So, yes, all the bhakti works, and by all these practices of bhakti, you go to the spiritual world, definitely. But you have to follow the, Uttama bhakti principles for that to happen. And it may take some time off, it's not instantaneous. All your neighbors get. At least you get some advantage, because in next lifetime, anyone that's around you, you get the sukriti, unless they're offenders, you get the sukriti of being around, that sukriti of serving the Lord by being in their presence or whatever, or seeing the Lord once or whatever. And that's to the advantage in the future, and then become devotees eventually, and then actually get out of the material world that way.
Is this material world really material, or our imperfect desires? Is that like our imperfect desires that Mahamaya facilitates our perception of like material world?
Well, it is two things. It is imperfect in the sense that it is achit, it is not a conscious entity. It is a material energy of the Lord called the Achit Shakti, which is real. Yeah? But of course, how we perceive the world, that is not actually the world. We don't even see the real world. We don't even see the real material energy because we've got our ahankar and so many things there, and we've got the human eye and everything, so we're just seeing a little fraction of the Achit energy. Okay? There is the Prakriti, Mahatattva, Ahankara, sense devatas, mind, senses, and tanmatras. We don't even see that part. We just see the gross material elements when they combine together in five parts with each other. We see that part of it. And we don't see the other parts of the universe at all. So we're not even seeing all the material world. We're seeing a little small fraction of it into certain bodies. That's all we see. And we don't see all the bodies either. We don't see the Devata bodies. We don't see the Rishi bodies. We don't see Brahma's body. You can't see anything. Very little. Okay. Hare Krishna.